This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The new Secretary of Defense pick is amazing. We'll talk about that tonight. Yes, we have a new Senate Majority Leader. We'll discuss that. Coach Tommy Tuberville is here. All kinds of Senate analysis. There's so much coming up tonight on I'm Right. John Thune's probably going to be our next Senate Minority or Majority Leader. That was me back in February. I told you this was coming, and the day has finally arrived. They had their vote today, Senate Majority Leader. The new one is John Thune. I have heard all of your concerns about John Thune. You should know that I share your concerns about John Thune. When people dig through and look at old video like this, we get concerned.
In my state, they use them to shoot prairie dogs and, you know, other types of varmints. And so I think that there are legitimate reasons why people would want to have them. And I think the challenge you have already is that there are literally millions of them available in this country.
They want reform and increased accountability. They want to make sure that we are holding our law enforcement officers to the highest standards. And they want their fellow Americans to feel confident that what happened to George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and too many others will not happen to their loved ones. Madam President, members of Congress have been listening. I have been listening. And today I'm proud to rise in support of Senator Scott's policing reform bill, which I am co-sponsoring.
Donald Trump is the Republican nominee. Would you support him?
Well, I'm hoping, Leanne, to have other options.
Okay, so he's weak. That's really what all that stuff is. He's weak. He's too weak to defend your gun rights, too weak to defend against the false narratives of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. He's weak. Just remember, because I don't want to talk about this, I want to talk about something wonderful. Just remember this. All that MAGA energy you saw during last election, where people got off their butts and got involved. Remember, you won that election. People started voting, knocking on doors, dragging friends to the polls, making phone calls. People became activists, and that MAGA energy rose Donald Trump, lifted him back into the White House for a second term. If you're angry about being stuck with people like John Thune, be angry at the GOP primary voter in red states who will rise up off the couch every 4 years and crawl across the mile of broken glass to vote and work for Donald Trump to get him elected. And then when it comes time for a GOP primary, he sits at home. My state's safe. I ain't worried about it. Or even worse, he shows up and votes for the same loser who's been in office screwing him over for six straight years. Let's start getting more involved in primaries so we're not stuck with people like John Thune. Now let's move on and talk about something incredible. And this is going to take me a minute because just I need to walk you through something. First, what we're discussing here is Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth is an infantry soldier. Pete Hegseth led men in combat, Iraq and Afghanistan, two bronze stars. Pete Hegseth is a wonderful human being. He's somebody I know personally, I will tell you. Wonderful human being with a heart for veterans, with a heart for changing our military for the better. But before we get to Pete and why this was such an incredible pick, I want to talk to you about this. Here's what has happened in the United States military. It's taken time. It didn't happen just in the last year. But over a long period of time, the United States military became its own industry. It stopped being this weapon of the United States of America, made only to defend the United States of America and its people, and it started being a business. The business of being in the military. All these generals and admirals kept rising up through the ranks, and they'd get all of their other friends as generals and admirals, and soon you get the swampy filth of the defense contractor industry, the Pentagon, and what eventually you have is a military that is big, slow, stupid, woke, and gross. A military where generals will routinely leave the army and go sit on the board of Raytheon and make a couple million a year. A military that is corrupt and disgusting and doesn't win wars, and not only doesn't win any wars, doesn't hold anyone accountable when they lose wars. People will say, why was nobody held accountable for Afghanistan? The reason nobody was held accountable for Afghanistan is the people who run the United States military now don't give a crap about 20 years of military failure that ended in embarrassing disgrace, because they're there with their general stars or with that Raytheon paycheck and everything worked out fine for them. It was 20 years of profit and promotion for these people. What we have in our military academies, in our military officer corps, the flag officer corps, the high up officers, is so rotted and broken beyond belief, it's staggering to me. And what else is the men on the ground, the real people who matter, the men and women on the ground, especially the men on the front lines. Remember, the infantry units, Army, infantry, Marine Corps, infantry, these high-end units, these guys who really shoot downrange and get shot at downrange, they're feeling disgusted with this military. The numbers we have right now, you know, only 62% of veterans say they would recommend young people to serve. That's down about 20% in just a couple years. It's free-falling. I don't know a single global war on terror veteran friend of mine, not one. Most of my friends are older now, obviously like me, married, kids. I don't know one that is encouraging his children to join. Almost every one of them are telling their children they're not allowed to join. The men and women on the ground, they are disgusted by this military leadership, by the commie nature of our military, by the bloated federal bureaucracy, by the fact generals and admirals never get in trouble, yet the men on the ground go to prison. Our military is a disaster, and it's a disaster the American people will find out about in horrible ways if things don't change. And when I say horrible ways, I'm talking about we wake up one day and combat has started with China, and we're losing. Did you ever think those days would come? Those days are coming. Our military is a disaster waiting to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. And so I have said for the longest time, that what we need to fire every single officer above a certain rank, every single one of them. They can come back if they are vetted by a board of people who are vetting these officers. Most of them don't need to come back, these generals and admirals. We need to go in, we need to clean all the commie filth, all the DEI filth out of the military. No, we don't need women in combat units. No, we don't have black quotas and gay quotas for the officer corps. No more of that. The best of the best only need apply. The hardest of the hard. We need a military, as I said before, that is full of type A men who desire war. That's what we need. That's exactly what we need. How are we going to get a military like that? How are we going to get a military that cares about people on the ground? Well, you have to think differently. What I love about Pete Hegseth, the pick of Pete Hegseth, is actually not because I personally know him. That's just a nice little bonus. What I love about the military pick of Pete Hegseth is he's exactly the kind of solution that can solve the problems I just laid out. He's not separate from those icky men and women on the ground. He has led men in combat, been shot at and shot back, been decorated for valor. He not only knows the men on the ground, he was an officer, and he's close enough to that flag officer corps to understand the weakness and stupidity and ineptitude and what it means, what their weakness means for the men on the ground. He understands what it means to feel a sense of betrayal from the Pentagon as you go give your body and your blood and your friends for this country, and you come back to find out the United States military is run by a bunch of putrid bureaucrats and politicians and generals. But I repeat myself, he is a man who has spoken out often about cleaning out this military. In fact, you know why Pete got out of the military? He came on the show, maybe you remember it. He talked about it.
I was dubbed an extremist by my National Guard unit following the 2020 riots and when we were going to go guard the inauguration. That's why I got out. So it's personal for me. It's personal for you. Everybody's seen something, whether it's vaccine mandates, whether it's a first getting promoted in whatever slot, whether it's training being diverted to some nonsense instead of, I don't know, gunnery tables. Like all the... Everybody's seen an aspect of it. We got to fix it, or where do we turn?
He's a man who understands exactly what needs to be done. A completely different generation, a completely different way of thinking. This military, I'm sorry for being a little crass. I know there are kids watching, but the military truly does need an enema. There's a bunch of crap in there that needs cleaned out. And maybe, just maybe, with an out-of-the-box pick like Pete Hegseth, maybe, just maybe, that enema has arrived. I'm more than happy to criticize Donald Trump loudly when I disagree with him. I am not a pom-pom waver. I am not a Trump loyalist. I am loyal only to my country. Donald Trump's picks thus far have been outstanding. All perfect? Of course not. Nobody is. But the picks have been outstanding. And when I saw this pick come down last night, I practically stood up and cheered. I am so happy that maybe we are going to change the direction of this country and hopefully the United States military. And I'll tell you something else. This phone has been melting with friends of mine over the past few days who have been texting me about how hopeful they are, and military friends of mine, how hopeful they are. In the last 12 hours, 24 hours, I should say, since Pete Hegseth news came down, almost every single currently serving friend and family member of mine has texted me and said, Jesse, I'm excited. Jesse, I might stay in now. Jesse, this is amazing. The men on the ground are happy, and so should you be. A new way forward, a new way of thinking. Let's change things. Well done, Donald Trump. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, we have a huge show for you. We have the coach, Senator Tommy Tuberville. He's going to talk to us about that disastrous Senate leadership vote. Where are we going to go from here? All that and so much more. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to getting you a good night's sleep. There's nothing better than when you wake up in the morning and as soon as those eyes open up, you know, oh, that was a good night's sleep. I'm going to feel good today. And you know, vice versa, you know, oh no, today's going to suck. But if you could have that good feeling every day with Beam, with Dream Powder from Beam, you can. Dream Powder, it's natural. It's a cup of hot chocolate. You sip on a little cup of hot chocolate before bed, only it's got melatonin and things like that in it. You just kind of drift off to this wonderful sleep. And then when you wake up, instead of feeling groggy and heavy and miserable, you just feel ready to go. Up to 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Like I said in the beginning, you win some, you lose some. Didn't go the way I wanted it to go. Now we figure out exactly what happened, why it happened that way, what things are going to look like going forward from here. And to do so, figured we want to bring one of the people on who's one of the good people in the Senate and had the courage to at least publicly announce who he was supporting, which was Rick Scott, of course. Joining me now, the coach, senator from the great state of Alabama, Coach Tommy Tuberville. Okay, Coach. For those of us who've never been part of some exclusive fancy Senate meeting, it sounds awesome, to be honest with you. What happened? Where did this take place? What did it look like? Normal people don't know what you fancy senators do behind closed doors.
Well, this vote, Jesse, happened in the Capitol, in the old Senate room. That was the very first one years and years ago. Nice place. The acoustics are not as good as you would like, but at the end of the day, there were some long speeches, some nominations from certain people pushing their candidate, and there were some good talks. Got a little boring at the end, to be honest. We got long after about 4 hours, but we only had two positions. We only had the leader and the conference chair. Tom Cotton won the conference chair. He's going to be very good at that. I like Tom. He's all in. Disappointed that my person that I voted for, Rick Scott, did not win the leader of the Senate for 2019 conference. He only got 13 votes, as you see there. John Cornyn got 15, John Thune 23. So it was pretty much over after that because you only had to have 27 votes, and Thune was close. And, you know, the reason I voted for Rick Scott and tried to get other people to vote for him was because he is an American first all the way. He believes in MAGA. He's a Donald Trump guy. He was right along with me. I was the first one to come out for President Trump. I think Rick was close behind. They're good friends. They communicate well. And Rick's not politician. You know, he was John Thune won, and he's going to have to prove that he can work with President Trump. He'll have to do everything he possibly can, but it's over. Now we can go on with it and start trying to put America first again.
Okay, let's go on with it. Let's focus on, well, what I think is the good, the best part of this first. You mentioned Tom Cotton, Republican Conference Chair. What kind of power is that for people who don't understand the workings of the Senate? What does that mean? And I understand Tom Cotton is obviously going to be much more pro-military and try to get all the woke crap cleaned out of that place, which I know you're passionate about as well. What else, what does it mean for the, to have Tom in that role?
Well, Tom is the conference chair, basically is somebody that runs our caucus meetings, stands up and puts the agenda together. There's really no power to it. It's just a position where you work basically for the leader, but it is not an appointed position. It's an elected position. So Tom's very good at that. He's structured, as you said. He's been military before. He works very hard. I work very hard with him on the Armed Services Committee. But conference chair is pretty much a position where you just try to get everybody together at one time, explain, give your opinions out, but also set the agenda for everybody else to talk during the caucus meeting.
Okay, so now we have John Thune. There's no going back now. John Thune was obviously not my choice. What do we expect out of John Thune going forward? Are we expecting he is going to go along with what the people want in the country? Are we expecting him to buck that? I understand, talking to Rick Scott yesterday, that Mitch McConnell ran things pretty tyrannically in the Senate. Is that going to stop? What do we expect going forward?
I think it'll be more open. John Thune spoke today, and he spoke about that, about giving everybody an opinion. Mitch McConnell had been in it way too long. He'd got his army around him, basically, and it was hard to crack into that leadership role. But at the end of the day, you know, different leaders use different techniques. We'll wait and see what John Thune does and how he does it. As we speak, he is meeting with President Trump. He is being the new leader. He spoke to the press, and now he's sitting down with President Trump to try to give him his agenda. But Jesse, he's going to work with President Trump. He has no choice. Anybody in there that we'd have voted for would have been in that situation, and he's going to have to prove himself early. President Trump is going to be hard to work with because he's going to be demanding a lot, and he should demand a lot. We have a short period of time in which to get President Trump's confirmations through. Do as much as we can with the tax reform, the border, inflation, all those things. We have got a short period of time, and the Democrats are going to try to block everything that we do. And John Thune's going to have to be a fighter on the floor of the United States Senate.
Yeah, he certainly is. Okay, speaking of those confirmations, last night it was announced that Pete Hegseth, combat veteran, two tours, total stud, Pete Hegseth is going to be Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense. Very out-of-the-box pick, not someone you would traditionally think. No generals, no admirals. I love it. I think we need a new, younger, fresh way of thinking. But then that brings us to the Senate, where a man like Pete has to get confirmed. Do you view these confirmations as having serious roadblocks with the majority we have, as thin as it is?
I would love for Pete to be the first person up for confirmation when we take over in January. Of course, President Trump will not be inaugurated to the 12th. We need a Secretary of Defense immediately. To me, he's the perfect choice. I've spent hours working and tried to fight against this woke DEI that's in the military as we speak. Secretary Austin has been a disaster. Mark Milley was a disaster. I spend hours a week with all these military people coming in for hearings. We've got some good people in the military. We've got people that want to have the strongest and best military in the world. Problem is, it starts from leadership in the Pentagon, which is an absolute disaster. And we have so many generals that they fall over each other trying to make a decision. And so we need somebody like that's going to go in and shake it up and start from the Pentagon down and get woke up for the world. We just spend our last second and let people know that, hey, we're back, we're here to stay, and we're one of the most lethal fighting machines that's ever been assembled. And Pete can do that. We just got to give him the ability to get out there and get started.
Yeah. Senator, or sorry, Coach, thank you as always. I appreciate you. I'll see you soon. I am hopeful, like I said. Before we get to anything else, let's save a life real quick. I like to always try to save at least one life every single night on I'm Right. That's what Preborn does. They save lives. This is not a normal organization. This is an organization that is setting up pro-life clinics in the belly of the beast, the highest abortion areas in the country, Baltimore, Buffalo, New York, places like that. They put up these little pro-life centers, and they give these women who are about to abort their babies free ultrasounds. There is a baby right now who is going to die if its mother does not get that ultrasound. If she gets it, she chooses life almost every time. Once she hears that heartbeat, it's over. $28 is what buys her that ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse. Go give what you can. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The people who run this country are deeply evil. I don't say that as a partisan person, although I am very much partisan. I say that because the numbers are right in front of you. They are replacing you on purpose. They are. They are tearing the country away from you because you love it and you won't let them burn it down. And they're handing it to foreigners for a $500 Visa card. Did you know that in the last, the last 5 years, we have added 500,000 jobs, less than 500,000 jobs for U.S.-born workers. You know how many jobs we added for foreign-born workers in that time? 3.6 million. Democrats took over this country, opened up the border, took your job away from you, and handed it to somebody whose loyalty can be bought for a welfare check. Sit and think about that. Joining me now, Dan Lyman, founder of Border Hawk News, who's been all over what's been happening to this country for a long time. Dan, please explain to me why this isn't treasonous, what these people have done.
Well, it is treasonous. And as you mentioned, the number of foreign-born workers in the labor force now is just exploding. We've seen that actually for decades now, but it's certainly gotten worse under this administration. 88% of labor force growth now is foreign. And if that's not a great example of the great replacement, I don't know what is. And it's basically, it's de facto government policy at this point to prioritize foreign workers. We see that with the H-1B, H-2B programs. We see that with the CHNV program, by which more than 500,000 illegal aliens have entered the country and have been given work visas. And that's just happened in the last 18 months alone. And we also see that, you know, across the board, we see that when the DOJ sues Elon Musk and SpaceX for not hiring refugees to work at SpaceX, where, of course, we have really high level sensitive secrets and technology being worked on. And Elon Musk is supposed to prioritize refugees, quote unquote, to work in those programs. It's totally insane. And as you mentioned, it is treasonous. And I think that we just really need to go back and examine what the United States is at its foundation. Is it an economic zone for foreigners to enrich themselves at our expense? Or are we a nation, are we a homeland for American citizens who are supposed to not only survive, but thrive in the years to come?
Dan, can you walk us back? When did this begin? It didn't just begin with the Biden administration. As you mentioned, it's been happening for years. It's been happening for decades. But how long have the politicians in this country, Democrats and Republican, sought to replace us troublesome citizens with foreigners who are a lot easier to deal with?
Well, of course, we can go back to 1965, the Hart-Celler Act. Prior to that, for about 40 years, there was a de facto freeze on immigration because we had taken in so many immigrants into this country, many of them hardworking, of course, many of them from Europe up until the 1920s. And then it was government policy at that point to allow these people to assimilate and allow our economy to absorb them in a way that made sense. But since the since the 1960s, we have seen a total change, and we have seen our nation being totally overrun with people who come here. Some of them come to work. Some of them just come to commit crimes. Many of them come to leech off the system. Many of them are sending their earnings home. And as a result, we see that Americans are suffering. We are now watching more than 100,000 Americans on an annual basis die of opioid overdoses. These are, in many cases, deaths of despair. We see fewer and fewer heritage Americans, white Americans in the workforce being admitted into university. And we see them being left behind at this point in favor of foreign workers. And we know, of course, the government is enabling this. But of course, this is the corporations that are really benefiting from this. And even down to the mom and pops, we see in many cases where a business will be taken over by a foreign manager or owner, and they'll just clear out the ranks and bring in a bunch of their own people to work in these businesses, whether it's hotels, motels, convenience stores, gas stations, you name it. So it's from the bottom up and from the top down.
Yeah, it is. Donald Trump does not have a magic wand, and he didn't get elected king. What can he do without legislation? What can he do to reverse some of this?
Well, of course, we need to be putting in place a higher American first policies, which we don't really see that right now. That needs to just be de facto Trump policy. And when Trump gets in on day one, I think there's a lot of things that he can do. We saw how much Biden was able to do on day one in rolling back so much of the Trump immigration agenda. But I think that Trump needs to go doubly as hard when he comes in on day one. And we need to be signing a raft of executive orders on that day in order to right the ship here. We need to restart the border wall. We need to reinstate Remain in Mexico. We need to end all of these programs by which the Biden-Harris administration has brought in millions and millions of foreigners, quote unquote, legally via CHNV, CBP-1, family reunification, the CAM program. So we need to end all those on day one. We need a task force assembled immediately for mass deportations. We need a task force to find the missing children, hundreds of thousands of missing children that are being trafficked around this country. We need a task force to tackle the criminal networks that are operating within this country and outside of our borders. And, you know, there's just a whole raft of things that need to happen. And we also need to work with the states in order to surge National Guard law enforcement to the border and make a show of force that no longer will we tolerate this invasion at our borders. And also, we're not going to allow these people to keep flying into the country or being brought in to work in our economy.
Tom Homan talks the talk, is the man who very much wants to walk the walk as the new border czar, and he's not backing off. Here he's been recently.
Criminals and gang members get no grace period. But while we're out prioritizing the public safety threats and national security threats, if you want to self-deport, you should self-deport. Because, again, we know who you are, and we're going to come and find you. So if you want to self-deport, that's fine. But criminals and gang members, they get no favors from this administration. You came to this country legally, which is a crime. You committed crimes against a United States citizen, some heinous crimes. You get no grace period, so we're coming for you.
How are they going to get home? How do they get home?
Well, the ones we're going home, the rest of them will put on an airplane and send them home. And the ones that want to go home on their own, they found their way across the world to come to the greatest nation on earth. They can find their way home. Either that, or I'll give them a free airline ticket that we put them on our airplane and we'll take them home.
Okay, what does this look like locally? Then are we going to be seeing National Guard troops walking the streets? What does mass deportation look like? I can't wait for it, but I want to know what it looks like.
Well, I'll tell you what I would like it to look like. He says, people ask him, how are they going to get home? Put them on C-5s, put them on C-130s, load them up the same exact way that we brought them in from Afghanistan. We can send them back that same way. We can be flying cargo planes back to these countries of origin. We can be sending cargo ships. We can be sending railroad cars back to Mexico, whatever it takes. But of course, the administration probably won't be that extreme. But definitely, like I said, day one, task force. Figure out how it's going to look and who's going to cooperate. We need to go after sanctuary jurisdictions that include cities, counties, and entire states and not allow them to continue operating this way. We also need to be working with local law enforcement, the National Guard. This needs to be effectively a military operation, however that needs to be laid out. I mean, this is an invasion of the United States. This is a nation at war. We are at war with people that are coming into this country. For instance, Tren de Aragua, MS-13, the cartels, they all need to be designated as terrorist organizations. It's my opinion that Donald Trump, his first foreign trip needs to be straight to Mexico City. He needs to sit down with a coalition of governments from across the Western Hemisphere, whoever will participate, and he needs to say, this ends now. We need your cooperation. If you're not going to cooperate, we're just going to handle this ourselves. We need to go secure the Darien Gap with the help of the Panamanian government. I'm sure that they will be very sympathetic to that. Their new president there has expressed intentions to do that himself. We need to support him in securing the gap. We need to secure the border. We need a show of force that is so overwhelming that nobody will want to attempt to come into this country anymore. And in the meantime, we start ridding ourselves of tens of millions of invaders from within the homeland.
Dan, what do we make of Kristi Noem, head of DHS? Is it just figurehead thing? Should I be concerned? Should I be doing backflips?
I am very cautious about this prospective appointment. I will say I don't see anything in her history that indicates that she'd be necessarily the right pick for this job. That remains to be seen. I'm going to give Trump the benefit of the doubt here. Personally, I think there are other people that I would like to see there, whether it's Ken Cuccinelli or Mark Morgan, or, you know, to be honest, it could be you, Jesse Kelly. You have military experience. You're a former Marine. And I think that someone like you who thinks the way that you do would be great, because for the last few years, we've had just a dyed-in-the-wool communist globalist running DHS. I think the guy who wrote the anti-communist manifesto would be a great antidote to that, at least for the years to come.
I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you very much. You know, I would very much enjoy a lot of that job. But no, I'm not leaving you, all right? I am going to tell you to switch to Pure Talk, though. I'm going to save you a little bit of money right now, and I'm going to have you stop sending money to a company who hates you and your values. You see, Verizon hates you. AT&T and T-Mobile, these are dirty communist companies. They take your money and they spread it around to the grossest causes and grossest people on earth. Go look how many times Pure Talk has given your money to Black Lives Matter. When Pure Talk gets involved in charity, and they do, it's always about veterans. A Vietnam veteran leads Pure Talk. They hire Americans who speak English. Switch. And keep your phone and keep your number. There's no trouble. Same 5G network. There's no reason not to switch to Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Switch. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is John Ratcliffe? He's going to be the new head of the Central Intelligence Agency, which is kind of a really important thing. Well, he's the former DNI big cheese, former congressman. He also exposed the Clintons' nefarious Russian collusion hoax stuff. So on paper, he looks great, but I don't know, John. Kevin Shipp, I'm sure, has some ideas. Joining me now, former CIA officer, author of the book Twilight of the Shadow Government, Kevin Shipp. Okay, Kevin, John Ratcliffe, he's the one I'm least certain of, not that I'm doubting him at all, but he's the one I've been texting everybody I know about. What do we think about Ratcliffe? What do we think about Ratcliffe? Because I know how important CIA is for this country. So, Kevin, what should we think about Ratcliffe?
Well, I think the most important thing about Ratcliffe is, by all accounts, he's an honest man. He's a good conservative, and he was the only one in the intelligence community that stood up for Donald Trump during the Russia collusion hoax, when even the CIA and John Brennan were leaking the information as if it was intelligence. So he's a man of integrity, a man of honor. As you mentioned, he was the director of national intelligence, so he has that experience. He was a good five-year congressman, so he knows the system and he knows Washington. Personally, I think he's a great choice.
Okay, well, that heartens me a great deal to hear you say it. Now, first of all, let's begin with you. What did you do for the Central Intelligence Agency?
Oh, goodness. I started off as a protective agent on the a protective detail of William Casey during Iran-Contra. I was in the Special Investigative Unit of the Counterespionage Group searching. There was a mole in the CIA that was turning information over to the Soviets. We were doing the search for him. I was the assistant team leader, and they want me to call it an anti-terrorism assault team. I was the assistant team leader on a team that went in to counter the New People's Army in Manila, Philippines, who were gunning down entire police departments, killing Marines, and were targeting our U.S. embassy. So I did that. I was a second in command on a secret base in the Midwest. And in the event of all of this, I uncovered a vulnerability to the cover of our agents overseas. And that's kind of what started my journey to come out and discuss the CIA.
Okay, so basically you had the coolest career in the history of mankind. How do you hunt for a mole? What do you do?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, it's an extensive process. The CIA, of course, has records and connection to records all over the world, all over the globe, with assets and informants and their databases. We go through all of that and try to link the information that was leaked, in this case to the Soviets, to the person who would have access to that. And that's like sometimes finding a needle in a haystack, but it's possible. It can take months. The case I had eventually went to the desk of the President of the United States. It was a GS-15 senior CIA official. The main mole, however, turned out to be FBI special agent in charge, Robert Hansen. So we eventually did get him, but it is a massive, basically digital and overseas intelligence manhunt, tracking down where this information is coming from that's being given to the Soviets or whatever foreign intelligence service.
Why are you no longer in the CIA?
Well, when I was in the CIA, I uncovered a vulnerability. I did an investigation on our connections through U.S. embassies, and I found it appeared pretty strongly that any foreign intelligence service could go into the open visa section to the unclassified computers, but penetrate easily the system, go in and look at the codes and identify the identities of our covert agents in that country, the chief of stations, and by extension, their assets. I put together an extensive report, submitted it to CIA management and the division responsible. My report was destroyed four times after giving it to them, the division personally. I received a phone call on the telephone saying, drop this investigation or it's the end of your career. My report was leaked to the Department of State Inspector General's office, who called me and said they thought there was something to my report. They were going to do a global investigation, but this was a secret. Do not tell the CIA. They were going to do this investigation without their knowledge because they'd been covering it up. It turned out to be the case.
Why in the world would the CIA not want a report like that? Kevin, my mind goes to a bunch of very nefarious places, but I read a bunch of spy novels. Why in the world would the CIA not want that?
Well, when I provided them all the information they needed to fix this, the documents were destroyed and I was threatened and the investigation had to go outside. Why in the world would the CIA not want to fix this when I gave them all the tools to do it, but instead covered it up and actually destroyed my documents from the server in CIA headquarters? The only conclusion I can reach is that they wanted that open door there for plausible denial, if there was a chief of station who wasn't playing by the rules, or if they wanted to write off some assassination or other operation to a foreign power, they could say that foreign power went in through the visa section and identified that person. I think, and this is just my opinion because everybody is still scratching their head, but I think it was for plausible denial in case they needed a scapegoat.
Oh, that's friggin' wonderful. Why didn't the JFK files get released? Mike Pompeo famously told Donald Trump, hey, don't do this. And it's so odd for those of us who are, look, we just want information. Everybody who could have been involved in something like that domestically is dead, or in the very least, they're about to be. They're ancient by now. Why still the secrecy? It creates distrust.
Yeah, and Mike Pompeo is a good man, West Point graduate, but I think he went native when he got into the CIA. As a matter of fact, he put out an assassination order for Julian Assange. He called Tucker Carlson and threatened him with arrest for talking about it. And then Mike later has stated that he regretted not doing the reform that he should have while he was in there. Those 5,000 pages that remain on Kennedy should be released. There's no reason that they shouldn't. But people shouldn't get their hopes too high because I can guarantee you, knowing how some of these operations go, that the files directly related to the operation itself and how it was to be conducted were probably immediately destroyed after the assassination and no longer exist. The other files are probably holding on to because they're like pointers or indicators or puzzle pieces that people could put together.
Okay. Tell people again about your book. I'm going to be buying your book like 30 seconds after we hang up, Kevin.
Oh, thank you. It's called Twilight of the Shadow Government, How Transparency Will Kill the Deep State. And I wrote this, defied the CIA and wrote this without their approval, knowing that they would redact most of it if they even let it be published at all. So I wrote this at some personal risk, reason being for people to know what the CIA is all about. The CIA will probably take the royalties, my royalties from this book, and it's a bestseller. My wife has set up a GoFundMe page to counter that. So I am taking some risk, but that is how strongly I believe that the American people need to know what the CIA is doing without their knowledge.
I cannot wait to find out. Kevin Shipp, Twilight of the Shadow Government is the book. You come back soon, please, sir. I could spend a long time with you. That was freaking awesome. I didn't even get to a lot of the CIA stuff that I wanted to get to. He gave me his resume and I started nerding out. I'm sorry. Whatever. We have Light in the Mood. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And I realize in this world of partisan politics, we can just only insult each other and attack each other all the time. I get that that's the partisan world we live in. And certainly we on this show, we have blasted away at the ladies of The View several times because they're miserable commie hags who have completely destroyed the minds of so many women in this country. However, it's Whoopi Goldberg's birthday today. And we like to celebrate birthdays here, so we put together a montage of the finest Whoopi Goldberg moments. Enjoy.
If you can't handle a fart, you can't handle me.
He cared enough about his wife to pay the... That was gas.
Thank you, Whoopi.
Job. You're
Thank
very welcome. You. And you know what? Ooh. Excuse me. Well, nothing. I'll tell you in a minute. We'll be...
What happened?
We'll be right.
Is that an air biscuit?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're so polite.
Oh, excuse me.
So differential.
I think I just blew a little frog out of there.
Why do I want to inject something into my skin that's going to make...
Excuse me.
Yeah, whoa.
Who's that?
Oh, you.
You know, that's a breakfast burrito.
Who, hold on for a minute.
Happy birthday, Whoopi. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday
normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.